Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Bending Atmospheres, A Journey from Inner to Outer Space by Glenn Butler is a memoir of a young man's dream of spaceflight. A dazzling adventure recounting daring, heroic professionals learning to work at undersea pressures to 1,000 feet seawater and in the vacuum of orbital space traveling at 18,000 miles an hour. Readers are taken through the early development of deep diving trimix, nitrox and neon diving gas mixtures and decompression tables, to the early diving in the treacherous North Sea, and methods used to train astronauts for spacewalks to repair the Hubble Space Telescope. With over 50 years of experience in military, scientific, commercial diving, aerospace, and hyperbaric engineering, research, and clinical operations, Glenn Butler is the founder and CEO of Life Support Technologies Group. And Glenn Butler, along with W.B. King, author of Bending Atmospheres, A Journey from Inner Space to Outer Space, Glenn joins us on This Week in America. Glenn, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
What a remarkable career that you've had. This all started as a young man. Where does this come from, the beginning of this adventurous side of you, where you were really impressed with the people that went deep into the sea and high into the atmosphere? Where did this come from?
This book is really about mentorship, and beginning with my parents and principally my dad, because he was a military diver. He gave me a love for the water. And the first time we went diving together, I was 7 years old and down in Key Biscayne, Florida. And from then on, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. So I was very fortunate in some ways in that I could always direct my career towards more and more expertise and knowledge in diving.
Talk about the research for writing this book. Where did the idea come from for writing A Bending Atmospheres, A Journey from Inner to Outer Space? Glenn Butler, the author, is with us on the program today. When did you get this idea? You know, I've got a remarkable story to tell. It tells stories of some courageous men and women, other scientists, and as you say, mentoring as well. Where did you get the idea to write the book?
That's a great question. What happened was that suddenly the senior people in our research lab and so forth passed away, and it suddenly became apparent to me that if I didn't tell this story, it would be lost. And it was so special, so unique, and crossed so many different areas of technology that I had to, even though these first-person things tend to be self-centered, I thought I could tell a story that wasn't about me but about the people I met along the way.
When you were a child, you mentioned this, at 7 years of age, you knew what you wanted to do. Did you ever imagine you would see what you've seen during your lifetime, the remarkable technological advances that you've seen? And more importantly, I guess, did you ever think you'd be part of many of these?
I wanted to be, I dreamed about, this is right in the middle of the Sputnik and, you know, as a kid, and all this, and the initial space race with the Soviet Union. And I knew that it was going to be so just elite fighter pilots. And so I knew that I was not going to make that initial, jump into space. But I thought that there would be plenty of room underwater. And in many ways, it's far more technologically demanding and physiologically demanding to go underwater because of the density difference and breathing gas difference. And the military, and NASA,
yes.
It's all about horsepower. And you're only traveling one atmosphere to go into space, but you're doing it at 18,000 miles an hour. So I thought the paradox was beautiful to think about.
Besides writing the book, I mentioned your founder, CEO of Life Support Technologies Group. Talk about, because you were there during COVID, you have been there during so many phases of space exploration that you talked about. Talk about forming this company and what you've been able to do with this, because it really has made a difference.
Well, thank you. I formed Life Support Technologies in order to transfer some information that we had in hyperbarics and in the military in a generic form back to the civilian population, to the NOAA underwater habitat, and to NASA in terms of underwater astronaut training. It's really not generally known that before the astronauts do anything in space, they first do it underwater. And so there's a neutral buoyancy lab down in Johnson Space Center in Houston that where we simulate everything possible underwater first before doing it in space.
That's amazing. And we all, I think, can recall some video wondering, they're going in space, why are they spending so much time in the water? And that's a perfect explanation of why it happens. It has to be rewarding to see a very active space program now. What are your thoughts on that? Because we're back to go to the moon again. It's exciting. We live here about an hour away from Kennedy Space Center. A lot of flights going off, a lot of companies involved in that. Are we living through another exciting era of space exploration?
Yes, it's coming back. Unfortunately, stalled, and it was time to retire the space shuttle before we had another incident. And that left us stuck with the, you know, Russians for support. And fortunately, we're back up, we're flying again, and that's a great thing. And it's so special to see that the activity. I somehow passed this on to my son, who got very much involved in aerospace technology, and he met his wife at NASA. They were Capcoms to the space station for a couple of years, and now she's involved. She's the head of the Artemis life support project for the next capsule.
Wow!
So the family carries on with the same sort of things, and it's just an honor. You know, it's a wonderful thing to watch.
Well, and you've been at the core of that, Glenn Butler, the author of the book Bending Atmospheres: A Journey from Inner to Outer Space, our guest on the program. He's a fellow at the Manhattan-based Explorers Club. This is a designation reserved for those who have distinguished themselves by directly contributing to scientific knowledge in the field of geographical exploration or allied sciences. It's a distinguished group that you are part of. Have we just sort of touched the surface of where we're going? I mean, you pick up the paper, you're amazed, and a week later, you're even more amazed when you read something else we have figured out technologically. Are we just sort of scratching the surface of what we can do?
We are, and you know, when unfortunately a lot of the negative things in the news take front line, and we just
Yes.
sort of see all those, but there's so many wonderful things happening around us. In medicine and science and in space travel that are really, really the things that humans rely on to think ahead and think of the future. And they're out there. We just need to utilize the internet and try to get a hold of real information. And a lot of that is certainly focused on some of the exploration stuff being done on Earth right now. It's absolutely amazing. One of the things I find most fascinating is that we're now using satellites and satellite imaging data and ground-penetrating radar to look for old civilizations. So what we couldn't find before, except by digging around in the dirt, we're now finding by being able to see stuff that's several thousand years old, we're finding that things are a lot older. You know, like the pyramids and the Sphinx may be 18,000 years old. So these are amazing things that are happening, and I love the new technology and applying it in different ways.
The book is Bending Atmospheres, A Journey from Inner to Outer Space by Glenn J. Webb. The book available, of course, wherever books are sold. Well, directed to Glenn's website, which is bendingatmospheres.com. We've got that link up on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, so you can link on directly, get the information there from Glenn, and just a fascinating read. So much in the book, Bending Atmospheres. One of the early chapters in your book is entitled The Call That Started It All. Talk about that and how this began.
Yes, I was working in the Brooklyn Navy Yard, helping to build a ship as part of a. They took in apprentices, so I wanted to learn how to burn and weld and so forth. So I was doing that at night shift, and going to college during the day. And I was waiting for a call from Union Carbide Research, up in Tarrytown, New York, from Dr. Hamilton. He had promised me a chance to go to work for them when they had a contract. And then he called me, and so away I went, and I went up to Tarrytown and to Ocean Systems Research Lab, and we began doing some research for the military, which was classified, and it was a real honor. It was an amazing experience for me, and just this now it's not classified. It was about submarine escape and how to survive certain types of escape modules that might happen to submariners. And that's the call that started it all. And so I began my career as a guinea pig.
And what a career it's been. Glenn Butler, our guest on the program, the book Bending Atmospheres, A Journey from Inner to Outer Space. I touched on it briefly. It deserves more than that. During the COVID-19 pandemic, your company was very instrumental in the metropolitan New York area. Talk about that and how this technology, we think, well, that's great if you're deep diving in the sea, if you're going to the moon, but what good is it for the rest of us? Talk about what your company was able to do to assist during the height of the pandemic.
Well, that's wonderful. So about 25 years ago, I started a division, which is medical-related hyperbaric medicine. So we have hospital-based chambers and facilities for elective and critical care, which are in different hospitals around the tri-state area, where we can treat people for medical issues where hyperbarics helps, like diabetes, late effects of radiation, acute infection. And so as part of that, we got involved in COVID. And COVID starves. One of the outcomes of COVID is that it starves the system for oxygen. The transport of oxygen from the lungs into the blood and then out to the tissues is impaired. So we hear about people desaturating below 90 and so forth. And so we started with NYU. We started, and Dr. Scott Gorenstein, we started a program to analyze COVID patients, take them downstairs before they had to be intubated, and treat them with one hyperbaric treatment a day for 5 days. And that seemed to mitigate that the whole problem, the major problem of the cascade and so forth. So they were actually able to be, they never got intubated, and they got better over time. So we consider that a major contribution to the science right in the middle of the pandemic.
Well, it was literally life-saving work that Glenn was able to do with his company, the founder and CEO of Life Support Technologies Group. It's interesting as you're talking about that so much of what we've talked about in the program are the successes. Talk about getting to a success. How frustrating it is, and how often do you like, okay, I think this is going to work, and then you find out it doesn't. Talk about the frustrations and going forward when not everything works like you're hoping it's going to.
That's for sure, and the best laid plans of mice and men.
Exactly. You know? Yes.
You can theorize how everything's going to work, and then how it actually plays out, both because of equipment and people and physics and so forth, that is quite different. And the closer you come towards something that's going to be working, and it's something that you can adapt to or adapt further to get where you want in terms of outcomes, is the real challenge. Yeah.
I mentioned in the beginning one of the areas you were involved in, early diving in the treacherous North Sea. Talk about when you enter something like that. This is unproven territory. You have people on board. How difficult is it from your standpoint and all those involved in a project like that? This could be a life and death situation. You're exploring something that's not been done before. Talk about what goes into that thought process before you do diving in the North Sea. I'm sure there were a lot of plans put into place.
Yes, and fortunately, the Norwegians, the British, and so forth were very strict about how systems had to be in place in order to begin to drill. And so even then, the equipment that was available was basically U.S. Drilling rig equipment, floating drilling rig platforms, and they were really designed for Gulf of Mexico and warmer weather, so they had to be transported up to the North Sea and given insulation and baffles and additional heating and all kinds of things like that in order to make them work until new equipment could actually be built, and that's about a five-year process. So during those first couple of years, the early 70s, it was really we had equipment that really wasn't adequate to the weather. The North Sea on a good day has got 20-foot swells, and on a bad day has 60-footers. So it's which is normally down in the Gulf of Mexico would be a hurricane. But these are normal sequences. The only beautiful thing about the North Sea is that the Gulf Current coming up from Florida is warm enough to keep anything from freezing. So you don't have freezing problems, but because it's always in the 40s or, you know, 35, 38, yes. 40, and during the winter. But it's the chief state is what is really, really amazing.
Amazing stories in Glenn's book, Bending Atmospheres, A Journey from Inner to Outer Space. Glenn J. Butler, the author, book available wherever books are sold. Direct you, of course, to Amazon, easy to remember. His website, bendingatmospheres.com, name of the book. And link onto that by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A couple minutes left in the program. One of the other chapters in the book was My Apollo 13. And I don't want you to give all the stories away in the book, but talk about that. We all remember Apollo 13. That's one of the missions that stays in our minds.
Yes, we're doing a series of experiments. We would go inside of a hyperbaric chamber and pretend that we were at pressure underwater. You can do that physiologically. So in order to be able to get very important physiological parameters and measurements, we can stay inside the chamber and then use connections through into our bodies and so forth and heart rates and so forth to look at what was actually going on with us in terms of the pressure and gas mixtures. This going to 1,000 feet in 10 minutes had never been done before. And military wanted to know if they could do that so they could go down and pick up stuff that the Russians had dropped or that we accidentally dropped and without anybody realizing it. And so that's how that started, really. And the cover story for it was that we were trying to jump the Norwegian Trench with a pipeline for the North Sea oil. But in fact, the real reason it was all being done was to see how fast we could pick up some stuff that the Russians had dropped at that time, or Soviets had dropped. The efforts in that and how it played out in terms of pushing along the technology was really, it's a combination of many things that pushed it along. And it's very interesting to watch. So Apollo 13 was about me having a problem in the chamber, not being able to decompress, having a decompression problem, having the bends, and not being able to get back out. And so you're afraid you may not get out, and you may be stuck there because if you go shallower, you're going to have some sort of neurological problems. Nobody really knew. And so fortunately, I'm still here.
Well, I was going to say, we'll give it away. A spoiler alert is coming up. Glenn is alive and well and talking to us on the program.
The funniest chapter, though, if anybody, chapter 14 is about me going to Woodstock with six girls. You'll love it. It's so funny.
Well, I got this visual in my mind right now, so we'll leave it at that and let people read that in the book. The book is Bending Atmospheres, A Journey from Inner to Outer Space by Glenn J. Butler. A couple minutes left. You know, it's interesting here. You are really pushing the limits. Are there times when you're thinking, boy, we can't go any further with this? And maybe you were just describing one of those when you're thinking, maybe we took this a step too far. Does that enter into the mindset as you're working on exploration and overcoming a problem?
Yes. Yeah, so a thousand foot, we were using a mixture of a little bit of oxygen, 1.8% oxygen, about 15% nitrogen, the balance of helium, which is a very light gas. And even then, the density, because you're at 31 times normal atmospheric pressure, it becomes it's very dense to breathe. It's hard to breathe, and it's sort of like breathing peanut butter, and if you can imagine that. And you really have to pull it in and then push it back out. The problem is that your exercise limited, what really limits you is your ability to get rid of the CO2, get rid of the carbon dioxide. So I think the practical limit for doing any real kind of work is about in 1,000 or 1,200 foot range. And the French have been as deep as 2,500 feet on hydrogen, but I don't think that's the answer. This all started back when the technology for robots didn't exist. And now we have technology that permits us to do anything we want to underwater without putting people on, we're putting equipment on Mars without the need for humans.
Yes.
So I think the ability for us to really examine things underwater and up in the comforts of a ship up above are here and really coming along.
Well, you talk about robots, artificial intelligence. Each day I read more and more what can be done with artificial intelligence, including hosting a talk show. So I'm out of work, but I'm about ready to retire, retirement age anyway. But what are your thoughts on the future? You see all of this new technology. I mean, artificial intelligence, robots. You mentioned you were doing this when that was just a dream that somebody had.
Yeah, there was no technology. The most advanced technology we had at the time was a TV that could work underwater a little bit, and everything else hadn't been built yet, hadn't been invented yet. And we invented a lot of these things and brought them along. And now you watch they say the acceleration in technology is a geometric progression. And you look at what can happen with AI. If we stay away from the dark side where we're like controlling people's brains and everything, if we stay away from that, you can create autonomous vehicles like Opportunity and Spirit that are up on Mars and making their own decisions. They're actually making their own decisions, and that's an example of AI technology. Because it takes 15 or 20 minutes for the signal to get back and forth. And so they've got to make some decisions on their own before they report back what they decided to do back to Earth. And I think that's going to only progress. It's going to progress dramatically.
It has to be, from your perspective, so fascinating to see what is happening. What would you like to see? Are there things that you're working on now that heretofore have really not been possible, but you're thinking, why not? I think we can do this with the technology that we have now, or evolving technology. What would you like to see us conquer next? What would be in Glenn's wish list? I'd like to work on this project.
Oh, well, the top of my list has been something I've been trying to do for many years is to help our veterans deal with traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder. And the suicide ideology is just so significant and so sad, along with our first responders and so forth. So all these people that are stressed, hyperbarics happens to have a very, very distinct benefit. So we're trying to find both funding and understanding and science to be able to demonstrate that and to help our veterans come home and carry on decent lives.
You've been doing this for a number of years. I get the impression you're as excited to get out of bed and tackle these problems today as you were maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Every day. Every day is another opportunity, you know, and you got to look at life like that. And if you don't feel like you have opportunity, make one. Make your own opportunity. You make your own day, you make your own life.
Well, we'll leave it to the program. That's the perfect way to end our conversation with Glenn Butler, Butler. The book is Bending Atmospheres, A Journey from Inner to Outer Space, book available wherever books are sold. Glenn's website is bendingatmospheres.com. Glenn, the time has gone by quickly. It has been a pleasure having you on the program. Love to be able to do it again. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Thank you so much. An honor.
It has been our pleasure. Glenn Butler, our guest, Bending Atmospheres, A Journey from Inner to Outer Space, book available wherever books are sold. Glenn's website, bendingatmospheres.com. You go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and click on directly to the website. And you are listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.